say this is going to be short and sweet, but yeah, most preachers just say it just to make you guys feel better, but I honestly mean it. Get you out here. Some of you have braved the come back in the cold, and when I was coming here, it was raining a little bit, so I don't want to keep you that long. Get you back home. I do want to say I thank God. I had a blessing to have my granddaughter all weekend, and we took her out yesterday. She wanted Mexican food, so we had to find a Mexican place. Of course, she ate like a bird. Well, then she doesn't. She eats like a, I don't know, a snail, or I don't know, whatever. She got full pretty quick, had to take it home. But it was a blessing. She goes, you know, do you guys have a mall around here? And I said, yeah. I said, you want to go to a mall? What do you want to go to a mall for? She said, well, when I walk you through the mall, I get ideas for Christmas. Meaning giving us ideas for Christmas. So, yeah, that was a blessing. 13. Yeah, so she's, yeah. It was a blessing, though. And I thank God she was here this morning. My wife had to wake her up because obviously she's a teen and she stays up late. But, yeah, that was a blessing. And I always think about those times that are precious to me, and you know, you want to grab a hold of those times. Make sure you take advantage of those in your life and your family and things like that. Every moment counts. So I did say I was going to keep it quick. I'm going to give you one verse. I love the book of Proverbs. You can usually take a verse of Proverbs, and there's a lot of wisdom in each verse. And read this verse, we'll pray, I'll give you this thought, and then we can go our separate ways. So Proverbs 27:17, it's a verse everybody knows and has heard quoted. If you've been in church for a while, it says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you so much, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace. I thank you, God, for your long suffering, your kindness, Lord Jesus, your goodness. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you so much for the opportunity, those that have came out, Lord God, in spite of weather conditions. And Lord, I thank you for all those who are watching by way of internet and will watch. And Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray the short time that we have here tonight, Lord God, and in your word, that we get this thought and that we become better for it, and that we would be the light that would shine brighter, not just to unbelievers, but to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and especially here at Cornerstone Baptist Church. I thank you, Lord Jesus, again for this opportunity. I pray for all those that are sick, Miss Dorothy, and many others, Lord God, that are going through health issues. Lord, I just pray that you help them and that you would bless them. Thank you so much again. In your precious name, I ask these things. Amen. Amen. Iron sharpeneth iron. When you first, when you read that, you know, a blacksmith, that's a pretty common phrase to a blacksmith. A blacksmith would know exactly what you're talking about. But God, I like this because God uses this analogy and he says, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. How we can sharpen those, how we can make better those that we care about. And I was thinking about this earlier as I was reading. I just finished reading the book of Second Chronicles, and I notice in the New Testament, I think of when I read the New Testament, of course there's a lot, in the New Testament about salvation. There's a lot about Jesus' character and things like that. But there's also a lot about dealing with people. And not just unbelievers per se, but also believers and how we're supposed to care for one another and how we're supposed to talk to one another. And I started thinking about the New Testament, but also you'll think about in the Old Testament, God always wanted unity between his people. You read about the children of Israel. God was upset when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. The Bible says there was a mixed multitude in there. And because of that mixed multitude, it got in there, crept up in there, and I believe a lot of that had to do with them building that golden calf and such. God always wanted his people to be together, to be unified in their beliefs, help each other out, to be there for one another, to build each other up. And you can see that if you read the entire Bible, a lot of the Bible is that. And also in the book of Proverbs. When you read the book of Proverbs, there's a lot about how to treat one another. And we find that in this verse, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So what I want to do is think about that blacksmith that would know that terminology, iron sharpeneth iron, and just take some of the work that the blacksmith would do and kind of apply that to the work that we should do to better one another, to better each other, especially here at Cornerstone Baptist Church. So first of all, in order for iron to sharpeneth iron, it takes work. There's a lot of undertaking work involved. When a blacksmith is trying to sharpen an object, it takes a lot of work. It takes effort. It takes him not giving up. It takes him just putting forth the elbow grease to make it sharp. And when I think about making things work between each other, it takes work. It takes work. You know why? Because everybody here has different personalities, has different character. Some have different, you know, again, I preached this before, how we shouldn't let anything divide us. Some of us have different beliefs. And I'm not talking about beliefs as far as the core fundamental beliefs. I mean different beliefs and different things. You think differently politically. You think differently when it comes to your family. You think differently. You don't think differently when it comes to the salvation of Jesus Christ and the virgin birth and the blood atonement and things like that. But maybe you might have different beliefs. But you know what? We're all you're an adult back there. Yeah, of course. We're all adults. So you know what we should do is we should work together in spite of our differences and better each other. That's what it's going to take. It takes work. It takes work overlooking somebody's personality. I remember there used to be a fella here at Cornerstone Baptist Church that a lot of people did not like. And how do I know that? Sometimes faces. Sometimes, you know, that look. Sometimes people would just tell me, I don't like that guy. He was very loud. But you know what? I remember that loud person, and I remember going to visit him. He got sick and in the hospital, and I remember going to see him in the hospital and talking to him. And I thought, you know what? If people really sat down and maybe got to know you, they could overlook those little things that annoy them. You know, your loud voice, you know, or whatever. It takes work when you're dealing with different kinds of people. Some of us, you know, we come from different backgrounds. Some of us have been raised, you know, pretty good. Some of us have been raised pretty poor. So when you hear somebody who's been raised pretty good complain about, oh, this and that, and you think, you got it easy, you know. There's just so many things that the devil will try to put and plant to cause division and cause divide and cause us not to get along, that we should work really hard. Just like that blacksmith, you know, he doesn't happen the first time. He has to do the effort. He has to take care and has to put forth the work in order to make it sharp. In order for us to get along constantly, there's a verse in the Bible in Romans that says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That shows that sometimes you're not going to live peaceably, no matter how hard you try, but you're supposed to try. But I would think that if we are believers, we should put forth the effort and try our best to get along. In spite of, you know, there's been times that people have said stuff, and I wouldn't think that way, or I wouldn't do that, or whatever. But you know what? That's okay. They do it that way. I do it this way. I'm not going to sit there and dwell on things because I want to get along. The Bible says this, Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. We ought to put forth the effort to get to know each other. You know, we got this Christmas banquet, and I understand everybody likes to get with their people and things like that. But how about we try to sit next to somebody or get next to somebody that we don't normally talk to and get to know them. Get to know their likes and dislikes and things like that. It takes work. I remember going to Midwestern. And in Midwestern, I would walk around and I would sit down and I'd see other men come and they would sit down and we'd go through the course, go through the day. I'd be writing and whatever. And I did that week, day after day, week after week, whatever. And I remember thinking in my head, these Christians are so rude. You know, I just would, in my head, I'd be, man, no one has come up and talked to me. None of these guys. They might say hi or whatever, but they're not sitting and saying, hey, what church are you from? Or were you? None of them. And I remember thinking, this is a Baptist college. I drive all the way from where I was in Detroit, all the way to Pontiac, just so I can get in these classes. But then inside, I had that, you know, that still small voice. Well, do you talk to them? You ask them what church they're from? What do they do? How do they know Midwestern? Have you tried to talk to them at all? Well, no. And I would say, God, this ain't about me. But I had to realize that I have to put forth the effort. I have to put forth the work to try to get along with people. Some people are going to be, some people are hard to get along with. That is true. And some people you'll go up and you'll say, I remember this one fella at our old church, it's always like one word sentences. Hey, how'd your day go? Good. Did you do anything fun? No. I was like, mental note, never talk to you again. But you know what I did? This person which is funny, because this person was so shy and did not want to talk. It was hard to talk to this guy. Again, one-word sentences. You'd go up there and you would try your best, but then I started thinking, challenge accepted. I am going to sit by this guy. I am going to talk to this guy. I am going to go out of my way before I leave the church, or before I'm handshaking everybody or whatever. When he comes by, I'm finding out something. When I found out that he liked basketball, when he liked sports, I got in that way a little bit. And what a blessing it was. I don't have Facebook or anything, and my wife said that he had said just a couple weeks ago, now he writes songs. He sings, and he actually goes and he hires these producers, and they produce it professionally, and he preaches, and he had made mention of, I remember it was me and somebody else, he said how he was shy, and that, you know, I put forth an effort to kind of break that shell. You know, you don't know what people can become and be just by you putting forth the effort to get to know them. You can better them by letting them know, hey, I'm no better than you. I'm just like you. We got common ground somewhere. Whether if it's only Jesus, then that's all it takes. You know, we got to put forth the work. We got to put forth the work. And you know what? In doing so, why do you got to put forth that work? Because you know what? We got to sympathize with each other. Because this life, Christianity, is not easy. It's very difficult sometimes. It's very difficult. You think, you know, sometimes it's easy for me to get up in the morning, but I don't think about some of those people that have the health, you know, the handicaps, how long it takes them. Like Pastor was saying this morning, how he needed his wife's help to get ready. You know, Christianity can be hard, and the Bible says that we are in 2 Timothy 2:3 that we're supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's going to be hardness sometimes. So you know what? We're supposed to be there for one another and try to work at bettering each other and to sharpen each other, because we can sympathize with each other. Hey, it's difficult out there in the world, in the workplace. So when you come here in the house of God and you get with brothers and sisters, it should be a relief. And how about this? Because of sin, the difficulty of sin in people's lives. Sin just hammers at people. You think, Brother Kevin, oh, you're a preacher, it's so easy for you. No, it's not. It's just as hard for me as it is for you. Satan don't like me any less than he likes you. I mean, he hates me just as much as he hates you. He wants to destroy my life just like he wants to destroy your life. And I have to battle through that just like you have to battle through that. So when we get together, you know, we can sympathize because, hey, we're going through that struggle together. Build each other up. And then we should be sincere about it. You know, we should want to better others. You know, I taught whenever you pray one Wednesday night, you ought to pray in the Holy Spirit. And because I'm praying in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is directing my prayer, now my prayer for the past month or so has been, let me be a light. Let me be a blessing and a light to people. You know, we ought to want to be have sincerity and want to see each other succeed. want to be there for each other, want to build up each other, want to hear how God is using them, want to be a part of that blessing. The Bible says, Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation. I looked at that word. It basically means let love be without being fake. Don't be fake. We ought to have honest, sincere love for each other and want each other to succeed. So first of all, speaking on using the blacksmith sharpening iron, it's undertaking work in order to sharpen it. Next, it's not only undertaking work, but it involves using wisdom. Involves using wisdom. When that blacksmith is working with metals, they know they have to determine how much pressure to use, how much pressure to apply, the correct technique. I know when I'm sharpening, I have when I'm doing hardwood floors, I have to use a scraper, and I have to sharpen that blade. And in order to sharpen that blade good, I love it when my when Kevin sharpens the blade sometimes. He'll sharpen that blade. He'll sharpen it so hard here and light there. You get that blade and it's like that. So when you're scraping that floor, you're just leaving grooves. So you have to use a little wisdom when you're doing it. You have to make sure that blade is straight, and you have to make sure that it's all consistent. So when you're sharpening on this side, it's sharp. And when you're sharpening on this side, it's sharp. You have to use a little wisdom. And when it talks about that iron sharpening iron, when that blacksmith is sharpening, he's using wisdom in order to do so. We, in order to better each other, have to use wisdom. We have to use wisdom. How about this? We have to use wisdom in order to know how to talk to people. How to talk to people. You know, you can do a lot with your words. Build up and you can tear down. I got somebody in my family who's super sensitive. And as soon as he walks in a room, if you say anything about him, he goes, okay, and walks away. He can walk in and you'd be like, hey, what are you doing with that hair? Did you brush it today? All right. And he'll turn around, walk away. So you know what? Next time you see him, don't say any comment like that. Use wisdom. Because he's sensitive, so now I have to go a different way to befriend him or say certain things. I don't want to, you know, there's some preachers, I heard this one preacher said, my ministry is to offend. And I never got that. There's Dr. Curtis Hudson, and I have his book. He's done passed away, and he wrote this book, and it's simple read, and it's called Some Things I Learned. And one of the things he says, don't try to offend people. You probably will offend people if you stick to your guns. If you stick to your standards, if you stick to God, there's some people you're just gonna offend. But don't go out of your way to hurt people. Don't go out of your way to say something. I used to be when I was in school, what I found out was after being talked about and all that, I found out that I was pretty good at it. And I could flip the script. And there's nothing better when you're in school and you're in class and you could say something at a certain moment in time about a certain person. You can get, it's like a stand-up comedian. Everybody in the class laughs. And I would look for that. I'd be like, okay, I want that, you know, that golden nugget right there so I can, little did I know, I was tearing somebody down in order to build myself up. You know, we have to use wisdom on how we talk to people. Sometimes, in that same vein, the Bible says in James, to be slow to speak, swift to hear. Sometimes we got to learn to talk to people by not talking, but listening. You know what? It's so wonderful to be able to get in your prayer closet or just to be able to pray anyway. And when you pray and you thank God and you say, God, thank you just for the ability to pray and that you hear me. It's an awesome thing to know that God gives me 100% of his time and can give you 100% of his time. That's a beautiful thing. It's also a good thing and a beautiful thing when you have somebody else physically that you can talk to and that will listen and that will bend that ear to you. And you don't have to speak and you don't have to give your opinion. You don't have to say anything. You're just there to listen. And they can vent. They can, like the Bible says, we're supposed to bear each other's burdens. They can just, and knowing that you're there to listen and to hear, and that maybe when you do speak, the Bible says this, Proverbs 12:25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. When you got good words to say, and you got that ear that they can bend and talk to, and even when whatever it is, you're not just spouting your opinions, but the things that you are going to say are going to help the situation, not criticize. When you know, just like I said, when you know, when you're praying that God has your back and he has his ear and he's listening and he loves you and he cares about you and you can just unload on God, that's such a blessing. That it's also a blessing when you have people, your brothers and sisters, that you can share things with. Because honestly, it is something. And I know things call for. People say, well, I don't need anybody. And I understand that. Some things, you know, the Apostle Paul said, hey, everybody left me. But he says in 2 Timothy, the Lord stood with me. There are times where you say, hey, Jesus, you're a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You're here and maybe somebody else isn't. There is that time. But let's be honest, we do need each other. Do need people. When this pandemic happened and people were stuck in their houses, what happened? People got depressed. Couldn't see family, couldn't see friends. You can see them through FaceTime or you can see them through a mirror or a glass or whatever. There's something with that one-on-one. It helps. We want to sharpen each other. We want to better each other. We got to use wisdom. We have to realize how to talk to people. You can say, we got to have good tact. You know, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. We have to know how to talk to people. Let me give you this. We got to use wisdom, know how to talk to people. We ought to know how to treat people. How to treat people. What's that old thing? Treat people how you want to be treated. You don't want to be put down, don't put down nobody else. You want to be lifted up, you don't want people to remind you of your faults and failures, then don't do that to other people. Use wisdom. You want to better them, treat them how you want to be better. You want people to say good things to you, say good things to them. You want people to uplift you, uplift them. Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. You know, when I was in school and nobody was talking to me, what's the Bible say? I reap what I sow. I ain't talking to them. Guess what I'm doing? I'm sowing. I'm ignoring them. I'm not talking to them. What am I reaping? Same thing. There's a verse in Matthew. It says, "With whatever measure you meet, the same shall be measured to you again." Yeah, we want people to bless us. We want people to be there for us. We want people to lend their ear to us. We want people to talk good to us. Hey, let's talk good to other people as well. Let's treat people good as well. If we love on each other and we sharpen each other, like this verse says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You care about this person, you can sharpen them. You got to know how to treat them. Treat them how you want to be treated. Let me give you this last thing. I told you this is going to be quick. Iron sharpens iron. When a blacksmith is sharpening iron, he's undertaking work. He's using wisdom. But when he's doing it, he's understanding worth. He's understanding the worth. Notice it says, iron sharpeneth iron. Blacksmith knows he can't use useless material to sharpen. He's not using iron to sharpen wood or iron to sharpen aluminum. No, iron sharpens iron. If I'm iron and I sharpen you, guess what you are? You're iron. I want to be used to my fullest potential for Jesus Christ. And I believe that God saved me for a reason. 2 Timothy 1:9, he saved us according to the Bible says, according to his own purpose. Well, that's the same for you. If I think I'm worth the salvation of Jesus Christ, then you're worth the salvation of Jesus Christ. I'm supposed to care for you. Like I think I'm worth something. I have potential. Guess what? You have potential. And I'm supposed to help you because you're just like me. Again, sympathizing with each other. You're going through hardness. You know what? Going back to talking to people. You know, we don't know what people go through sometimes. There's a lot in our own personal lives that pastor don't know about. Maybe you had a rough day. Maybe you're preaching and somebody's phone keeps going off. Maybe you're more popular than me. People want to talk to you. But going back to, you know, to talking to people, somebody could be going through a horrible day or a horrible time. Somebody could have gotten horrible news. And then here you come, running your mouth. That's why we got to be careful. We got to understand worth. You know, you don't want to put somebody down. We're supposed to, the Bible says, provoke unto good works. When I preached last time, I preached about influence. We're supposed to influence each other. Why? Because I'm a child of God and you're a child of God. Why? Because I'm precious in my Lord's eyes, and so are you. I'm supposed to, as well, know that you have potential. And that you could be something for God. And me, being a Christian, being your brother, ought to want to see you reach that potential. I remember this one fellow. I remember he came to church and he helped me out a lot when I was young. He was another younger guy. He's only I believe 4 years older than me, maybe three. But he was such a blessing. And then he got away from God. And then he got And if you ever heard his testimony, he would tell you how that verse in the Bible where it says the spirit leaves and then he goes and grabs seven other spirits and they come back, and the second state of the man is worse than the first. He says that's how it was. Sin took him farther than he ever wanted to go. And I remember we used to always go visit this guy for visitation. We had visitation every Tuesday night. And we'd go do visits, and then we'd say, okay, we're going to go visit this guy. And we would go visit him. And we would always, always try to uplift him. And I could, thinking about it, I could go in there and I can easily just tear this guy down. Like, what are you doing with yourself? You're living wicked. You're doing this. You're involved in this. You're hanging out with these guys. There was plenty to say. And you know what? We visited that guy, I would say, at least 40 times. 40 times for a year or so. And I thought, I used to think, man, that guy was on fire. And he was awesome to hang out with. But you know what? If I was to look at that guy now, that guy has since come back to church. Now the guy's a pastor. He has a huge family. He sings. You know why? I believe this with all my heart. Why that brother? Because there is another brother that I can tell you that this, and I, evangelist even, ran this dude down the road. I mean, he come into church and he just bam, 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 bam. And he ain't never been back. This brother, I tell you what, every time we saw him, sure there were times when you say to yourself, hey, look, you know the life you're living is not good. Then we always, used to tell him, but God will bring you back. God's not done. God doesn't throw away the clay. God can use you. And I think that helped him as a part of his testimony. Coming back to Christians who believed in him, who said God can use him. And here's that guy, and he can tell you the life that he lived. He was in gangs and things like that. Got in church and then left and backslid for years. But every time we saw this guy, and I always thought, because the Bible says, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And I could be just right where that guy is. So why in the world would I tear him down? I wouldn't want that. And now this guy coming back from that life, knowing how his Christian brothers and sisters, his Christian family at that time, loved on him, is now a pastor. See, we don't know the damage we can do or the blessing we can be. We have to sharpen people. We have to care about people. We have to care not only for, again, I pray, God, make me a light to shine, not only to the lost who are blinded by the God of this world, but be a light to you guys and be a blessing. Have something good to say. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all. Have an ear to bend if somebody needs somebody to talk to. Be approachable. show people that you care about them, that you have time for them, that they're worth something. Their life has meaning, and they have potential. And it's quiet like a library in here, but that's okay. That's all I got for you guys tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness and for your grace. Thank you, God, Heavenly Father, for your love. Lord, like as I've preached about how we can come to you, we can come to you and we can just pour out our faults, tell you about all our failures, our problems, and you want to hear those things. And you tell us to come to you and cast our cares upon you. And I thank you so very much for that, Lord. But I also, Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for those that I can talk to physically, and that will be a friend to me and will sharpen me. And I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that I can be there for others like you are for me and like others are for me, and that I can return the reward, Lord God, that I can be that person who shines that light, who can be a blessing, who can listen and know how to talk to people and build up others. And I pray, Lord God, that's the desire that stays in my own heart, and I pray that's a desire that stays in your people's heart here at Cornerstone Baptist Church. That we look and we strive to provoke each other unto good works, and that we edify each other, and that we just sharpen each other. I pray, Lord Jesus, God, that you bless this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Mark, 5:52, let's all stand together if we can.